Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Podcast.
Indeed. This week we return to the gentleman's art of dressing with economy.
I have waited with bated breath for the day we would return.
It is a book published in 1876, a budget fashion guide for Victorian gentlemen.
Written by a lounger at the clubs.
The actual credited author.
It's so good.
And now, chapter 3, coats.
Ah, finally!
Of all coats, the frock coat is, for morning wear, the most dressy and fashionable.
That's true.
It is preeminently the garb of a gentleman, and should be worn by gentlemen only.
Hey, wait, now, I don't like this.
The snob and the cad in the frock coat look snobbier and caddier in this garment than in any other you can name.
What?
The frock coat of the day is invariably made of fancy cloths, diagonals, or twills, to the exclusion of Meltons and plain-face stuffs.
Hey Ken, I'm gonna need a description. Meltons? Meltons, Milton?
Meltons, Meltons. No, I have no fucking clue.
What is a diagonal?
If any of our listeners are particularly into vintage fabrics, please write in and explain. AntiquesFreaksPodcast@gmail.com.
Please help us understand.
To my idea, whatever be the texture of the cloth, the frock coat in color should be either black or blue.
Boring. I already disagree.
Nowadays, it is made in light, fancy materials, lavender and gray twills or French crepe.
Perfect. Love it.
After all, it is merely a matter of taste, but to my eye, these materials do scant justice to the frock, which is par excellence the king of coats.
Okay, buddy.
To those who study economy, however, it has many disadvantages. It must be of first quality. Second quality will not do.
Well, that's going to be a problem if we're looking at budget coats, my man.
It is indispensable that it be lined with silk, the skirts especially.
Why?
Or they cling to the legs and give it a dragging, wrinkled appearance.
Alright, that's a fair point. You win this time, a lounger.
It must be of exquisite cut, make-up, and finish, and requires careful putting on and a good graceful figure to carry it.
Is he just saying you have to be hot to look good in clothes?
I think he might be saying you have to be hot to look good in clothes.
Well, then we can just put the fucking book down, man!
If this coat be of inferior quality, it gives the wearer a poverty-stricken look.
Oh boy. I was thinking this wasn't going to be a very judgy chapter, but I was wrong.
And if A1 in all particulars, it necessitates equal perfection in all other garments.
Is he talking about the sauce? A1?
The steak sauce is called A1 because A1 has been slang for best of the best for over 100 years.
I was unaware.
Also, it tasty.
It very tasty.
A1 steak sauce. Drink it with your friends.
Hey A1, we will be looking for compensation for this advertisement? Get at us.
Hat, trousers, boots, shirt, tie must be prepared to bear strict scrutiny. Even gloves and umbrellas must correspond in excellence.
Yo, this is a weird remix of Apple Bottom Jeans.
Boots with the jeans?
The whole club was looking at jeans.
She hit the jeans. Next thing you jeans. Shorty got jeans, 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 jeans. We will be linking to that remix.
Yes, we will.
In the Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
Probably every day for a year.
Oh, God. In my day, I have seen the fashion of this coat change perhaps a dozen times. Sometimes short-waisted, sometimes long. Now short-skirted to one extreme, anon long-skirted to the other.
Ugh, he's getting some boomer talk out of this guy now.
Be this as it may, you must have no fixed idea of your own on this matter, but follow the prevailing fashion in the frock coat as well as in your style of hat.
Oh, I love to hear that advice. Cast individuality to the winds, you dumb fuck.
Now, we went over in the introduction how gentlemen of means can afford to be particular and independent in their dress, but gentlemen who must practice economy do need to follow fashion and have a coat that is wearable in all seasons.
Fine, all right, that's a fair point. I'm just saying, that gentleman is not getting my attendance to the ball.
So I fucking love frock coats. I think they're the best coat.
That's the thing, is he's completely right. The thing is, what he left out is that when you put on a frock coat, you look hot.
It is an instant hot button.
It really is, yeah. If you were just like, what could I just do and like it's a thing I can put on and everyone will think I'm sexy, it's a frock coat.
Instant sexy, just add frock coat. But yeah, the other fun thing about frock coats is that it means in literature of the 19th century, whenever an author has a character wearing a frock coat, which is often, as they were a staple of gentlemen's wardrobes at the time, you get a lot of talk of gentlemen rearranging their skirts.
Yes, I believe that's probably confused a lot of people.
It confused me the first time I read through The Mystery of Edwin Drood and got to the sentence, "I have lately been down yonder," said Mr. Grewgious, rearranging his skirts.
Which is wild because it's called a frock coat, and like, frock does mean a word.
It does. It means skirts. The frock coat is so called because of its voluminous skirts as compared to other coats.
I mean, I'm being sassy. Like, nobody calls skirts frocks anymore, so, you know.
No, but like, also in 19th century literature, people will be calling their dress a frock.
Yeah.
But sadly, we must leave the frock coat behind and continue on to the cutaway coat.
But I want to stay here in frock coats.
We all want to frolic in frock coats, but alas, we must move on.
Alas.
This coat, formerly called the Newmarket, is the most profitable for everyday town wear and may be worn either double or single-breasted, the former best for spring and autumn, the latter for summer.
Okay, all right, I'm following so far. Can you tell me what this coat looks like?
The frock coat is kind of like a modern pea coat in that it goes all the way down to the front and also the back.
Okay, yep.
Whereas the cutaway coat will go all the way down in the back, but only down to like the waist in the front. And then there will be a cutaway. And then...
I don't like it. I'll just say that.
Are you looking at them now?
Yes. There's a picture, a nice illustration of some men in a variety of coats, and I gotta say, the one with the cutaway I would dance with last.
When new, have this coat made up with plain edges or edged with round braid called piping. After some months' wear, when the coat requires doing up, a heavy broad silk braid may be laid on. This will change the whole character of the coat, and it will look, even to the wearer, like a new one.
Is he saying to swap out the piping?
Yes, he is saying swap out the piping and people will think you have bought a new coat.
All right, swapping out the piping, again, maybe it was not as expensive then as it is now, but...
I think it was less expensive in an age when tailors were more accessible and common than they are now.
All right, yeah, that makes sense, because it's kind of a small job if you're doing tailoring all day, all the time.
Yeah. Do not have an outside breast pocket.
Don't!
Stuffing a handkerchief in it makes bulbous and puts it out of shape.
But then you have a handkerchief. I'm afraid I'm not following him.
As to colors, none are so serviceable as black and blue, and you cannot be far wrong in selecting either as they are always in fashion.
Ugh, buddy, have a little imagination.
Fancy colors come and fancy colors go, but black and blue go on forever.
I think red's always been pretty hot.
But much more difficult to keep looking clean in an era where England's dust is made up of horse manure and coal smoke.
You know, I keep forgetting those points, so fair point.
Everyone's like, why did everyone start wearing dark colors all of a sudden? They used to wear such bright, beautiful colors. And it's just like, well, there are a lot of factors, but a big one is that the air was also black. Anything you wore out into it would also turn black, so you might as well just start with black.
And it's especially strange because Bauhaus hadn't even become a band yet.
I see a red coat and I want it dusted black.
So you said red coat and someone who does a reenactment for like Revolutionary War just like snapped to attention and got real mad.
Grabbed their musket.
Yeah, they just like idly grabbed their musket.
The regulation length of skirt of morning coat may be determined by letting the arm fall to the side with the fingers extended. Then the ordinary skirt is level with the tip of the middle finger. Those of you who went to a school with dress code that required skirts for certain students may find this a familiar measurement.
Really?
Was that not the dress code at your school? That any skirt or shorts had to go past your fingers if your arms were down?
It was like it had to be beyond past your knees, like.
Oh, so you were more extreme.
Yeah, well, because some of the girls had short arms, and it was like, well, technically it's past my fingers, and it would be.
Well,
like,
what about the girls with long legs? What are they supposed to do?
Give up. Well, they're supposed to get really long skirts and cover their shame. You know what the Catholics call knees? Secondary tits.
Do they?
They don't, but Sometimes I forget that not everyone is like has like grown up Catholic, and they're just gonna like take me at my word for that because the Catholics are about that bizarre.
A short skirt comes to the nail of the little finger. A long one, à discrétion.
So, a long one, who cares?
A long one ends whenever you feel like it should end.
I want it to never end.
Remember, in skirt proportion, the same rule holds good which relates to the nasal organ. For is it not written, an inch in a man's nose makes a great difference.
I have a quick question. What the fuck?
A splendid question. Let us continue.
That felt like innuendo. I'm just gonna say it.
Overcoats. Most of what Alandra has to say about overcoats is very practical and extremely boring, except for this detail.
Okay.
Always have two inside breast pockets to this in every coat, and distribute your cargo throughout all the pockets.
Cargo?
I would love to hand this man a pair of cargo pants and just see what he did.
He would stuff it with treasures. He would run to the nearest lake and just fistfuls of bullfrogs. Finally, my cargo!
I told you about my uncle who brought a frog home in his pocket and then put his pants into the laundry hamper.
No.
And then grandma got a real, real nasty surprise when she did the laundry.
Oh no, that's a terrible story, Ken.
Oh, I'm sorry, that poor frog.
God, froggy surprise.
Poor froggy. The summer overcoat.
Ah, this is showing a little leg. Go to the beach in my summer overcoat.
There is no end of variety in these coats.
That's very ominous.
Many of them are to be avoided as worthless.
Oh!
Noticeably among the number are the dust coats for races, which burst out like ephemerae about the Epsom week and disappear as suddenly as those neuropterous insects.
Okay, all right. Bit by bit, Ken, make that make sense.
There is a particular kind of summer overcoat that is most often seen during the racing week when people are going to horse races.
Thank you.
Indeed, it is a curious question what becomes of the gossamer diaphanous garments alluded to.
He doesn't know, huh? We're not gonna find out.
Many start for the Derby in them, but whoever saw their return to town?
Oh my god, they all died at the Derby! The coats are killing people!
Do they melt away in transit and become absorbed into the system, or do their owners throw them away out of thorough shame at their vulgarity?
Wow! First of all, was his first suggestion that the subway somehow ate their coats? And second off, Jesus fucking Christ, bud.
Waste not your shillings on such trash. Exclamation point.
Is that the first one he's used so far?
They appear very seldom.
It sounds like that these coats are like an integral part of the transit system.
They're fueling the trains.
Yeah, it might. He doesn't really clarify whether or not that's the case.
Have a summer coat built by a skillful tailor, and do not strip a peg for one under any consideration.
Strip a peg for one?
Buy it off the rack.
Gotcha. I feel like we did cover that and I forgot.
During the scorching serious, it can even be worn without a waistcoat.
The what now?
The height of summer.
Oh, is it like a dog days thing?
So called because the constellation Sirius is brightest and most prominent in summer.
Okay, alright. I was right, sort of.
You were. This coat is solely adapted for walking and obviously will not answer for prandial purposes.
This coat is made for walking and not prandial purposes.
Merriam-Webster defines prandial as...
Thank you.
...of or relating to a meal.
Oh, so you can't eat in this coat. No one will give you food?
It might prove awkward if, clad in it, you dropped into dinner with familiar friends, where a lovely woman graced the board, and were asked to move your overcoat as a preliminary.
Alright, they're losing me.
So you're wearing your overcoat, but you don't have a waistcoat on underneath, and you drop in to your friend's house for lunch, but they have a lady guest, and now you're stuck either with your overcoat on at dinner, very gauche, or now you are removing your overcoat and not even a waistcoat beneath, but mere shirt sleeves. Scandal.
Wow. Look at this loser. He's in shirt sleeves. Here at my house.
Practically bare-chested by the standards of the day.
Oh, all right, but like, if that is the case, then that's sort of a baller move, to be honest.
It's definitely a big swing.
Like, yeah, that's true. It's a gamble.
Even at a bachelor's party, it could scarcely be considered en regal.
So, I mean, like, bachelor's parties were different at the time.
It just at that point meant a party of bachelors. It was not yet a stag party. Merriam-Webster defines en règle as in accordance with the rules.
Thank you.
But then it only professes to be adapted for one end and aims not at being all things to all men. In fact, it is impossible to design a garment which will meet the requirements of all circumstances.
Well, finally he said it.
To lounge in during morning, look fit for the park in the afternoon, dressy at a 5 o'clock tea in Belgravia, suitable on emergency for a fashionable dinner party, and not out of place in the stalls of Covent Garden in the height of the operatic season.
Buddy, you gotta go home sometime.
If you can point me to the tailor who has invented such a coat, I shall patronize him at all hazards.
At all hazards, like there's a bunch of rabid dogs on the way to the tailor. It's Dark Souls.
Oh, man. The ulster.
Oh, yeah, you have to go to a doctor for that, I think.
I have seen them ticketed as low as 21 shillings.
I don't have a point of reference for that, sir.
The stuffs used in these ultra-cheap coats might be useful for straining peas.
Oh, no!
Indeed, a closely knitted antimacassar would afford as much protection to the body.
All right, now, a quick definition of antimacassar, please.
One of my favorite Victorian oddities, an antimacassar, is a lace doily that you put on the back of a chair to prevent the upholstery from damage from the hair oil of the men sitting in it.
Wonderful.
It is called an anti-macassar because macassar was the most popular brand of hair oil at the time. So it is an anti-hair oil.
That's delightful. I call this the get your hair oil off my fucking chair cloth. I call this the greasy boy cloth for the greasy boys that are sitting in this chair.
But then they are made like Peter Pindar's razors, only to sell.
Yes, that is generally why people make goods for stores.
But if it's made only to sell, it is never intended that the consumer should actually successfully use the item for its intended purpose. It's literally just for selling.
Okay, alright. I see. I see where his cattiness is going.
A well-made ulster, on the other hand, is indispensable. A custom has obtained of late of wearing these ulsters for peripatetic purposes, and many may be seen in the fashionable parts of London.
I'm sorry, partly pathetic purposes?
Merriam-Webster defines peripatetic as of relating to or given to walking.
There's probably an easier way to say that, but thanks.
No $1 words, $10 words only.
Listen, people might not think I'm serious if I start using $1 words.
Of course, in wet or snow, there can be no objection to them, but on the other hand, they are as well adapted for a promenade as a Macintosh would be for a full-dress evening party.
It's a lot of terms, like, period-specific terms here.
Macintosh is like a raincoat.
Okay.
Promenade is walking.
Gotcha.
So, the ulster is as well-suited to walking as a raincoat is for a full-dress dinner party.
I mean, what if your full-dress dinner party, you have to go through the outside while it's raining to get to the dinner party?
Then you have your valet carry your umbrella.
I'm a gentleman working with economy. I don't have a valet.
You pretend for an evening that you do, because otherwise you can't show your face at this dinner party.
I hold the umbrella, and I hold the, like, and but I put my other hand underneath it, and I'm just yelling at myself.
No, you hire a guy for the evening, and pretend you employ him full time.
Oh, you get a gentleman of the night.
Yes.
You gotta, like, pull a pretty woman.
You snag one of the painted gentlemen yelling at you outside of the theater. And you bring him to a dinner party.
Yeah.
Did you know Orlando Bloom's first film role is in the biopic Wilde about Oscar Wilde? And his only role is to be a rent boy standing outside of a theater and catcall Oscar Wilde.
That seems perfect for him. And if you will permit me, that's wild.
The greatest possible use of Orlando Bloom's talent, surpassing both Pirates of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings. But not surpassing the time Orlando Bloom jumped over a couch to punch Justin Bieber in the face, because nothing will surpass the moment when Orlando Bloom jumped over a couch to punch Justin Bieber in the face.
That's true. For that, he's won our hearts forever.
Back to the Victorians.
Right.
Even in foul weather, however, I doubt their utility for walking purposes. In rain or snow, the long skirts quickly get saturated and take long to dry. In fair cold weather, when a brisk, quick movement is desirable, they impede the action of the spindles and make locomotion a nuisance.
Is he calling his legs spindles? Because that is...
He is!
That's great.
This damned coat is impeding the action of my spindles!
My spindles?
My spindles have been impeded!
Cannot continue to perambulate with my spindles so impeded!
I can't go to the party, I broke my damn spindles! And now, the Inverness cape.
Right.
You probably know it as the Sherlock Holmes cape.
I don't. So I'm sorry that you have me at a disadvantage.
It's a tweed number that he's usually depicted in that goes with his deerstalker cap.
Okay, all right, now I know, yeah.
It's never mentioned in the text of the stories, but it appeared once in one early influential illustration and took off as a symbol of the character.
Well, yeah, because everyone was like, that looks extremely sexy. And they were right.
They were right. The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy predates Sherlock Holmes by 11 years.
Oh, interesting.
The Inverness cape is not yet the Sherlock Holmes coat.
Okay. Still cool.
This is an antiquated garb and has been completely superseded by the ulster, which popular Hibernian has put many others out of joint, to wit, the poncho, the pardessus, and the upper Benjamin.
That's what I call it when I'm trying to pay someone. It's like, you want the upper Benjamin, my man? I don't know what that means.
Neither do I, but...
Oh, good, not just me for once.
One sample of the latter garb, I believe, may still be seen in a window in one of our leading thoroughfares, where it has been on view to my own personal knowledge now well nigh 20 years.
Wow.
Burn.
I mean, that's harsh. We're just out here trying to wear coats, my man.
Such as the full dress evening coat? Although there is little of this coat, it is not easily made to fit perfectly.
Wait, is he saying it's like a slut coat for sluts? Like a slutty little coat?
Unless it catches on the shoulders, it will hang shapeless with as much symmetry as an ordinary pump handle.
He's losing me pretty rapidly.
If the coat doesn't fit you right in the shoulders, it will look about as sexy as a handle for a water pump.
Is this a general thing or for a specific kind of coat?
Specifically for the full dress evening coat.
Well, I would argue that any coat that's hanging off your shoulders weird isn't going to look like especially hot.
Unless it's a frock coat, because frock coats can never go wrong.
Oh, a frock coat is extremely sexy no matter what.
The full dress evening coat, however, must be lined throughout with silk, and the secret of its success lies in having the length of tail regulated according not to your height alone, but to your figure.
Mmm. Like where this is going.
Any man built on great fundamental principles should avoid flap pockets on the hips. The pockets must be behind in the coattails.
Okay, all right. Is that gauche, or, like, just to have, like, pockets where your hands would be?
So, when he says any man built on great fundamental principles...
It's a strange thing to say, yes.
It is prudent to point out that fundament, to the Victorians, was another word for butt.
Was this like a double entendre?
Yes. He is saying if you have a big butt, you shouldn't have hip pockets, because putting things in those pockets will only make your butt look bigger. So put it in the coattails, which hang far behind off your butt, and will not add to the largeness of your butt.
Counterpoint. Let that thing hang. Counterpoint. Let yourself be dummy thick.
It's just the amount of times in Victorian erotica where it says he introduced his peg to my fundament.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah. It's a thing.
Wow.
It comes up a lot.
Would you like to behold my fundament? And then it just, like, claps.
And he just, like, flips up the coattails to reveal a bare ass. Behold, sir, my fundament.
I didn't even have to stuff things in my pocket to get it looking this poppin'.
To conclude. I, for one, do not dislike, but simply hate overcoats trimmed with fur collar facings and cuffs.
Oh, good to know.
For a Whitney cloth to be faced with a selvage of fur is false heraldry, akin to the impious snobbery of having electroplated articles with silver mountings, wherein the main body of the manufacturer is of base metal, and the meager trimmings real, one halfpenny worth of bread to the vastly disproportionate amount of sack.
Wow. All right, buddy. I feel like Will I Am has words for you, but like, fine.
And that concludes a lounger at the club's opinion on coats.
Wow, he got real heated about coats, though.
He really did.
Man, don't come at him in one of those coats that you wear to the races.
For it will melt away in the rain.
Or the subway will eat it. Or you'll show up at a party and be just almost inappropriately sexy.
Oh, man. So, thoughts?
Salty. Salty man.
One salty biscuit.
It's a real salty biscuit. Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel... Oh, that's something nasty, though. Oh, wait.
Duolingo has been asking me to translate that phrase into Portuguese several times a day, every day.
Salty biscuit?
Yes.
I will promise you that at least on my end of things, I have never had cause to say those words together.
Apparently, it's constantly dropping off people's tongues in Brazil.
Well, they say some strange things in Brazil.
Shout out to Brazil!
Shout out to Brazil. You guys are the realest. More people speak your language than mine, so you're winning. basically, what he communicated to me the strongest was that I should have a frock coat.
Yes. I am ahead of the game, as I already have a frock coat in my possession. However, it is in dreadful repair.
I think it looks fine, but, you know, everything could use a little more repair, in general.
My shoulder's done busted through it.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like it might be in need of repair.
Yeah. But my tailcoat's looking fine.
Yes. I think he didn't mention tailcoats.
He did. Those were the full dress evening coats.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not used to hearing them referred to as such.
Referred to so clunkily?
Yeah.
Although he did distract from the full dress evening coat with his digression on the fundament.
Yeah, you realize that's the thing is, maybe I would have caught it on if he hadn't started talking about, like, how you gotta tone down them thick, juicy buns. Which I gotta say, heartily disagree with his take on the fundament.
I also love the little detail of pockets in the tails of a tailcoat.
That is really cool. Yeah, that is fun.
It also explains how so many gentlemen got their pockets picked in Oliver Twist, because, like, it's not even on your body.
it is behind you, yeah.
It's a good 6 inches away from your entire body. So I can see how these, like, 5-year-olds are taking you for everything you have.
It's, like, a really cool idea, but I wouldn't put my cash in it is the thing.
Oh, man. Sources for this episode include The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy. By a lounger at the clubs. Soon to be read, not just by us, but also in full drag by drag king Guy Alias.
I'm so excited.
We are beyond excited for this to happen, and we'll keep you all posted as to when that goes up on the internet.
I'm just so excited.
If you would like to email us your thought on Victorian fundament, you can email us antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, or tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you liked all of the funny words we said and then can helpfully defined, consider scrolling on down to wherever you're listening to this and leave us a review. 10 out of 10. Very healthy fundament.
Shout out to Boloite for leaving us the review. Witty, wild, and wonderful. 5 stars.
Aw, that makes my heart so warm.
If you would like to listen to Deleted Scenes and our special October presentation of bonus episodes where we read Varney the Vampire or The Feast of Blood, a Victorian penny dreadful that is more dreadful than penny.
Nice.
You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Bye.
Bye.